If you remember when we last left off, we were speaking Aramaic, and with great joy I tell you, we're still speaking Aramaic. Therefore, I just gave out the English ones. I figured we'll try to make do with that. So, the... doesn't have a chapter 6? And we've had this for how many years and no one's caught that? Very interesting. So if you remember what happened, let's just bring ourselves back up to speed. Where we had last left off was that, we're going to start from the beginning. Koresh, King Cyrus, says, go build the Beis HaMikdash. They travel from Babylonia to Israel. They start doing it. The locals make trouble, and in fact, it has to stop. Now we are a bunch of years later, and the Navis came, Chagai and Zechariah came forward, and they said, okay, let's get going again. Let's get back to work. No, let's get back to what we were doing. And again, you have trouble. So
that's when they write the letter.
So they write a letter to the king. To at this point, it's Darius. And he says to him, you know, maybe you want to check to see if this is true or not, but they have these claims that they have permission from Cyrus to do this. You know, is that true or is it not true? So, we're going to get a response. Ba'adayin dar yavish malka sam te'im uvakru b'vei sefraya di genzaya me'achtin tamah b'vavel. And he goes, and we get the word that, in fact, he looks into it. Now, where is Daryavish? Where is he located?
Shushan.
You're right. Shushan, Susa, might want to call it, right? That's where he is, right? Shushine boy, right, from Underdog, that's correct.
So then,
right, okay, same idea, just as right. So where is Shushan? Shushan is?
Persia.
So why are they checking in Babylon? It's a little odd to be checking there. They said, let's go check in Babylon. And son of a gun. And in fact, they found a scroll which was in a pouch in a palace in Media. So they were looking all over and eventually they found it. And what does it say?
Are you still in 5 or are you in 6?
I'm in 6.
The first two.
Okay. Right?
That's what we did. We did the first two verses of 6.
Okay.
So, and then what does it say? It says, B'shnas chadar Koresh Malka, Koresh Malka, som te'im, beis aloh b'Yerushalayim, beis ha'yizbenei, asar di davchin divchin, v'ushoi mesubolin, ruma amin shitin, pesaya amin shitin. And it says as follows, that here it was in the first year of King Cyrus, just like they said, right? He went and he set down a decree regarding the temple in Jerusalem. And they said they can go and they can build themselves a temple, and it will be 60 cubits high, and it will be 60 cubits wide.
And they can make sacrifices.
And it goes through the whole thing. He says, just like they said. Nibachan di even gloro trosav and nidorti achadis in the kosav in base marker tisiava. Right? And it says that there'll be marble rows, there'll be wood, right? And in fact, not only is Koresh allowing this, but he's even picking up the tab. Vraf mane base aloha di dahava vakasva di nevucha nessa hanpeg min achor bi Yerushalayim vehevel levavel ya have sivun. Not only is he going to allow this to do this, not only is he going to support it, but in fact, all of the gold and silver vessels that were taken by Nebuchadnezzar were sent back. So in fact, you know, one would assume that based on this, again, this is beyond our scope here, but what menorah were they using in the second Beis HaMikdash? Sounds like the same one as the first one, right? It sounds that, you know, again, not everything makes its way back. The Aron, the Ark never makes it back. In fact, that remains in Washington, D.C., right?
That's where I thought we found that in, you Right. First Indiana Jones.
Dun, 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 dun. Right. So that is true. But in fact,
like the altar and all that.
What?
Everything that they the
well, right.
The showbread.
So right. So the shulchan, correct. The assumption is this shulchan, the mizbeach haketores, right? The assumption, it sounds from here that they got them all back. And in fact, that's what it sounds like very much here. So in fact, they get a break. They send the message to Darius, and Darius says, yeah. Now, a few interesting points here, right? One interesting point is, what didn't they find? What did they not find? They found the letter which says you can build the Beis HaMikdash. Right. The second letter has never popped up. Right, that second letter that says, okay, now I retract, you got to stop doing that, that doesn't appear. It seems that they were looking very hard for this letter, right? They're in Persia. They send people to Babylon to see maybe it's there, because, in fact, Babylon, right, the way that the...
That's where they took them.
Right? Paras Umadai, right? They, in fact, beat the Babylonians, so that was a possibility. Maybe we had left it there, right? Maybe, and eventually they found it not in Persia, not in Babylon, they found it in Media. Right? So, in fact, what was going on here? So, very interesting. The Mefarshim point out that the reason that they probably looked so hard for this is because there was someone on the inside that was encouraging Darius to do it. And that somebody was?
Esther.
Esther, that is correct. Whew, can't sneak nothing by Marsha. So it says, Mistaba kilo lo haise yad Esther van Sheo me'achore kol hachipa sazero yadavar mitzvatzeo. If it wouldn't be for Esther and her people pushing this would have never happened. And in fact, if you look at the Medrash in Esther, the very beginning, it says, Ksiv b'shnas chad l'korish malka ba'osa shal nirtu kol san kalitim shalo etzlo v'amro avicha gozer alecha shalo yivne v'at gozer alav sheyivne v'chi yesh melech mevato gezeros melech. So he said, at this point, according to the Medrash, they knew that Koresh said yes, but he also said no. And not only that, we know for sure Achashverosh said no, and Achashverosh is the father of Darius. So he says, wait a second, your father wouldn't allow this. Why are you allowing this? They asked him. Because of he said, if you look at the letter, he says, for the time being, I want you to stop. He never said you can never do it again. So again, I think the time being is over. It's time to rebuild again.
Also, does Darius consider himself a Jew, or is that like a non-issue?
Again, as we discussed previously, the fact that Darius's mother is Esther is questionable at best. Again, there are midrashic sources that we saw which support that. But there are many challenges to it, right? The Gemara seems to treat him as a non-Jew. So she was Jewish. It's unclear if she was his mother.
Oh.
Right? That's the Gemara definitely sees it, right? Treats him that way,
but Esther's encouraging him.
Right,
again. Yeah. He has some influence.
And also he pointed out that he would have been a very young fellow if Esther was his mother. Right? A surprisingly young fellow at this point.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's no, we said a lot of a lot of pages on it. And even
mentioned 2 weeks ago the matrilineal descent was not firmly established.
Correct. We said that there were various approaches to but definitely he was not a practicing Orthodox Jew.
Well, I
didn't. He didn't even come on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, as far as I know. Not only that, I think he actually paid retail. which means that he clearly was not Jewish. I think you can't really argue with that. That's proof positive. So that's what it says here. So if you look at the Medrash, right, he turned around and he says that, okay, there you have it. Okay, my dad said no for the time that he just said no, but going forward, I'm do it. So here we are. So Darius now makes it clear, you guys keep on doing what you're doing. I'm on board with this. Now, just one point, at least to touch on, is if you remember, it says here that the size of the Beis HaMikdash was going to be 60 by 60, 60 high and 60 wide. What was the size of the first Beis HaMikdash? What?
I thought it was smaller.
Right?
But I always think that's the kind right. of sheep.
Right. Yeah, so it was smaller, right? It was definitely not 60 high.
Right.
It's a question how high it was, but it wasn't 60. It was maybe 20, it was maybe 30. Right? There seems to be, it's a little unclear, therefore there's a disagreement by that with that. And in terms of its width, it definitely wasn't that wide. It was 60 long, but it was only 20 wide. So when he says it's going to be 60 by 60, what is that?
Are we talking about the Kodesh HaKodeshim?
No, we're talking about the entirety of the Kodesh plus the Kodesh HaKodeshim.
Like 90 feet high?
What? Yeah, at least.
And it had we're talking about all the courtyards.
Right, again, so the first one, right, according to there seems to be some disagreement whether it was 20 hamas high or was it 30 hamas high. Right, so there are different opinions about it, what it was, but like, 60.
That's like six stories? I'm trying to figure out the math on that.
So which one, 20, 30?
No, on the 60. What is 60 90. Cubits high? If 60 cubits is...
Right, I assume a story is around 10 feet or so, right? So that's around 9 stories.
So that's even taller.
Right, that's... So why did he tell him, yeah, it could be that big? So the Ibn Ezra comments... So yeah, it's going to be a lot taller than the old one. So again, 60 by 60 means it's going to be 60 long, as the old one was, but this one's going to be 60 high. Because in the first one it was 30 cubits high. So he said that this was going to be 20 by 60 by 60. It doesn't mention the 20 because that was the same. The 60 length was the same. There was a change here. Now, in fact, this could, in fact, be helpful for us regarding a pasuk in Haggai. Right? The pasuk in Haggai, and this is a very controversial pasuk, it says, Gadol yekavod habayis hazeh ha'achron min harishon. How would you translate those words from Haggai? Gadol yiyeh, it will be greater. Kavod, the honor of the
second
bias. So the word achron you're translating as
second.
What?
The last.
So the harishon. Right. So again, the problem is if you were a Christian missionary, you'd point this to show that there's no third Beis HaMikdash. Right. Because again, Carl, you just called the second one the last one.
Well, it's last in the context of this historical building.
Right, so again, so it should be the next. When next?
Well, the latest.
The latest. So that's a different translation, right? So yes, that is the correct translation, right? The word achron, right? And we have other cases in the Chumash, two notable cases where the word achron does not mean last. Right, and then Moshe Rabbeinu goes to, or we'll start even earlier, when Yaakov meets Esav, it talks about the children being presented with the various wives. So you have Bilhah, you have Zilpah, and then it says Leah and her children Acharonim,
after.
And then Rachel and Yosef Acharonim. So you see that the word Acharon doesn't mean last because they can't both be last, right? Right. Similarly, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro, it says that he's supposed to do a series of tricks, right? And he says, if he won't listen to the Kol Os HaRishon, he'll listen to the Kol HaOs HaAcharon. And he says, and if he doesn't listen to those two, this will be a third one. So again, the second one is referred to Acharon, even there's one afterwards. So again, this happens, so the missionaries jump on this, see, that looks, second one's the Acharon. It's not, right? The word achron doesn't mean last. Oftentimes it means last, but we have other cases in the Chumash already where the word achron means next. Yes?
I should have asked this before this discussion, but nobody seems to say anything about 60 high versus 90 high. Why 60?
Why 90? Well, where's 90?
No, 90 is 90, so a cube is like a foot and a half.
No, but I thought it before it was 90 high.
No, before it was 30, and now it's 60.
Oh, so they raised it. Okay, I got it backwards, sorry. Yeah, I'm with you.
Got it. So, what? No, so the general assumption that's referring to the second. Chagai Zechariah Malachi are the Nevi'im of the building of the second base of Mikdash, and he announces that it'll be great. So it means, so now Rav Shmuel, so the question is, but what does it mean that it will be greater? Okay, we've established it's first to the second. Why is the second base of Mikdash greater than the first base of Mikdash? It wasn't. Problem was. So Rav Shmuel, there's a disagreement. V'amilo Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar. What's Machokas? Who's Machokasing? Chad Omer B'Binyan. One says the building was larger. Right? V'chad Omer B'Shanim. The other one says that it lasted longer. So again, this, or if you tell me that this one is twice as tall, then I understand Gadol, it is bigger than the other one. Right? So again, that
about the same.
What?
Didn't one last for like 410 years and one lasted for like 430 years? I mean, it's
it was very right.
Technically longer, but
right. It's a little bit longer. Right. You say it's a rounding error. You know, longer is longer. Right.
So when they're building it, they don't know.
So again, so that's now Rashi makes a very odd comment here. Rashi says, "What do you mean it was bigger? Shehaya Govo Meya Amos. It was 100 amos tall." Wait a second. Where did Rashi get that from?
Yeah.
Right? I understand Ibn Ezra got it from our Pasuk.
It's not Maseches Midos.
As it says in Maseches Midos. So, where does it say? So look at Midos. It says, Vahecho Meya al Meya al Rum Meya. It was 100 by 100 by 100, it says in Midos. Ha'otim sheish amos v'govo arba imama. So again, okay, it's a Mishnah in Midos. Where did the Mishnah in Midos get it from that it was that big? It's an excellent question, one that I don't have a particularly good answer to. So that's one thing that's worth noting here, right, that according to the Ibn Ezra, when it says it's 60 by 60, it means not width and length, but rather it means length and height, which makes it larger. That fits in at least one opinion, which says that it was a bigger building. But Rashi has some tradition, based on a Mishnah, it's not his own, right, where it was even bigger than that, 100 amas, that's at least 150 feet, that's at least 15 stories high. So
still 20 wide.
Yeah.
Taller, and but still narrow.
Right, no, again, but according to, no, it's wider, also, so it's 100 wide.
Oh, it is, right, so right, it's made so, it higher and wider.
Right, it's kind of boxy looking, but you know. But yeah, so that's an oddity. Now, if you look here, what?
Do we think that? I mean, which do we go by?
I mean, it's a historic question.
I see.
What it was, was. They say, Maida hava, whatever it was. Meaning that, as we said, we know that the Beis HaMikdash, the first one was different than the Mishkan. And we know that the second Beis HaMikdash was different than the first Beis HaMikdash. And the third Beis HaMikdash, right, we'll hopefully see soon, will be different than those. So it's at this point, it's a historic question. Nothing wrong with history, don't get me wrong. But, you know, at the end of the day, right, it's not practical.
But if you look at the area of the Temple Mount today.
Right, it's much larger than any of those.
But that's so
right.
Why
now again, also we have issues because the Temple Mount today is the Temple Mount of Herod.
Right.
Right, so that's going to
you're
be...
You're saying it is or is not?
It is.
Okay.
Herod's much later, he expands the Temple Mount. Right, so again, this is part of the reason why we have such a hard time figuring out where the Mizbeach is supposed to go. Because we got how big is the building, where is it located,
Right. But so why wouldn't we go back to kind of the original building? Why would it be bigger and grander than the second?
Well, why was the second different than the first? Again, the blueprints, shall we say, to the third one are found in the book of Ezekiel, Yechezkel. And that's totally different dimensions.
I see.
Okay. Why does God do that? Take it up with God. What are you bothering me for?
Talk to her.
What?
Yeah.
Tell me how that goes.
I will.
We also mentioned that it's very interesting, in this letter he gives the dimensions. He also discusses how it's going to be built, right? He said it's going to be built 3 marble rows and 1 wood row. Right? It's a kind of, you have houses like here around that, you get, stone and the wood mixed together, right? Got that one on Cedar Marsha, right, on the corner, right between Hudson and Holly. You know what I'm talking about.
There's stone and spackling.
They kind of do with different things. So why did he announce this? So it's interesting that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah sees this as a strike against him. It says his father, so it says that Daryavish, he started out as a good guy, but eventually he turned sour. So I said, what did he do? Nidbachin the Evan Glow Tlosov and Nidbach the Aachados. He says that it says that he went and they made 3 rows of marble and 1 of wood. But Nafka bin base Malka Tesyaev. And he said, now I'm gonna pay for it. So he said, Lamad Leila Abd Haki, why did he do that? Why did he specifically want to mix the wood together with the marble or the stone? Savi Imar de Biyuda Iku Benura. He said, I want the bottom to be wood. If they start off for me, I could burn it down. If it's all stone, I'm not going to be able to destroy it. So therefore, he insisted.
Well,
worked in the end. Atu Shlomo Avir Achi. So, but wait a second. Didn't Shlomo do the same thing? If you look at the first temple, it says Vaksiv Shlosha Ture Gazis Vator Karatas Arazim. It says that he had 3 rows of hewn stone and 1 row of cedar. Isn't that the same? Shlomo Avin Milamal. He said, no, Shlomo put the wood on top. So therefore, even if you would go after it, the building remains. As opposed to Daryavish, the Iyu Avir Milamata, he put the wood on the bottom. You burn that out, it's all over. Shlomo Shaka Bibinyana. Iyu O Shaka Bibinyana. He said, Shlomo also, he went and he... what he did is he put wood paneling, but ultimately it was all right. He did not. Shlomo Saje Besid, Iyo Saje Besid. Also, Shlomo plastered it in the wood, but they did not plaster it. Meaning that, so the assumption here is that he specifically did it in a way that he was going to make it.
Sounds like he's going to burn it down.
Well, he's not going to burn it down. Right, a few centuries from now, someone else will.
Remodel.
Yes.
Did it follow that same?
Not necessarily.
No.
So I feel
like the Romans had the technology to knock down stone.
Well, okay, but they ultimately burned it, right? So he explained Nivkan there. So Rashi spoke Ksiv Shoshal Piyad Ezra Kosovo Shuro Shel Evan Shayish Shlosha Bachomos Habayis Farvi Shel Eitz. So he said that, he explains that he gave him a letter, I want you to build it this way specifically. You can build it, but bottom's got to be wood. So that was the problem here.
When Josephus describes the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash,
second
Beit HaMikdash,
mm-hmm.
and he talks about, first they lit curtains on fire, and then wood scaffolding caught fire and whatnot, but at the end he said that they had a... that they gathered all the survivors in the remnant of the Beit HaMikdash, and they kept them prisoner there for some period of time, and then they said, okay, we're going to come in and we're just going to raise this thing to the ground, right? But that sequencing suggests that whatever wood was there at the point was not part of the
foundation,
but was more structural.
Yep.
Okay.
And some stone wall was standing.
Right.
The plan.
Right. Okay. So that's the word that gets back from Daryavish. Daryavish says that we're going to keep on doing it. Tatnoi pachas avarnarash sar boznoi vechanolosei avachshe di bevernaro achikin havim in tamo. So in fact, the people who sent the questions right? Tatanai, who we said, according to at least one opinion, was the father-in-law of Haman, and also Shesar Baznai, all them, right? Right? He told them, you guys, keep your distance. Let them do what they have to do. Shivuku aravidas beisaloha deich pachas Yehudai l'shove Yehudai beisaloha deich yivnon al asroi. So, leave them alone. Let the people that are there that have come back, let them just do their work and don't bother them. Right? So this is about as good as it could get for the Jews of the time. So he said, I issued the decree that they can do whatever they want. Not only that, but they can use the money from the taxes to do it. And everything should be done as quickly as possible. There should be no disruption. Meaning that not only am I allowing this, but I am supporting it and I am encouraging it to be done ASIP. And not only that, ומחשכן ובני טורן ודיכרן ואימרן לאהובן ולאהו שמיה חינתי מורה חמר ומשך כמימר כהניה דיו ירושלים מהווי מסב לרחום יום ביום די ראש הרום. And not only that, but even if they need sacrifices and anything that they need, whether it's cattle, rams, sheep, you name it, wheat, salt, wine, whatever the Kohanim say they need, give it to them. Give it to them, they should support it. So he said, Dirahavin Mahakrivin Nichochin Alod Ishmael Matsayin Rechai Malko Benoi. Key line here. I want them to do this in order that they should be able to bring sacrifices on a daily basis, and they will pray for their king and his children. Interesting, related to Shabbos, those of you who were here, the Das Mikra says, So he says, in fact, this is 100% what we have done to this day, that we have that we pray for the local government, and we discussed this at length. I also include here the Pesukim in Yirmiyah that we did beforehand. Remember, we had mentioned over Shabbos that Yirmiyah had said that at the time when the people went into exile, he said, listen, this is not going to be a quick exile. So, you know, build yourselves houses, set up businesses, get married, have kids, marry off your kids, right, etc. And then what's the very end? What's the last pasuk? V'darshu eshlom ha'ir asher higleisi eschem shoma v'esfal ba'ada el shel kibush shoma yevachem shalom. And you guys pray for the king, because if he does well, you'll do well. Right? So that's very interesting. Now, he asked not only to pray for himself, but also to pray for his children. So we said, well, wait a second. If you told me that Esther was his mother, Esther came to the scene in the 7th year of Ahasuerus, and Ahasuerus was only around for 14 years. And this is the 2nd year of Dariavish. That means he could be a maximum of 8.
Yeah.
So what's he saying? And also take care of my kids? So the Das Sofrim says what he means is when I have children. Meaning that this isn't, like, people point to this like saying, really, this is Esther's kid? So he said, no, it's not necessarily not.
It also makes him sound very wise at 8 years old.
Okay.
This sounds like adult things coming out of an 8-year-old.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Is the word for descent?
Can he say bubbles? Just saying.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not that cute. It says he did not have children at this point. Yeah, he was talking about, you know, not, meaning that the rest of the family, you know, he's got half brothers from his dad. You know, so that's who he's praying for, if you tell me that Esther is his mom.
When was the Das
Tas Sofer was written in the 1960s.
Oh, well.
So it's an ancient. Oh, that's
a
funny different
perspective. Yeah, this is our story in Yorkin Gut. Okay, so that, so again, this, the fact that he has to pray for his children, you know, that's notable.
For the future.
Right, okay, that, this, people who support the idea that his mother was Esther, they're going to have to say, it means, God willing, I should find a nice girl, I should settle down, you know. Pray for them as well. Umini simtem di ko anosha di hashne pisgama dena yisnasech amin abesa zakif yismechei arohi ubesa nevoru yisabed aldana. And therefore he says that anybody who in fact makes trouble with this, hang him high. Right? And not only that, and his house should become a garbage dump. Now, anybody we know who was hung high around this time of... So if you look at the Yalkut Shimoni, interestingly, right? Well, if you're thinking about hang him high, who are you thinking about hang him high?
Haman's sons.
Obviously Haman's sons. You're not it's thinking like about Clint Eastwood, right? So it says here in the Medrash, in Yalkut Shimoni, number 12, Yasu eitz kavoa chamishim amah. V'haya haman chozim v'vakesh koreshal chamishim amah. He said... You're gonna make you have to make a galleys 50 amas. 50 amas is how many feet?
75.
But at least 75, right? So that's the case. It's very hard to find a 75-foot piece of wood. You need a big tree to get a piece of wood that big. El Karshi have a tall beso lefisha hayu bino pashandasa hegmon bikardunya. Natal Nechar Bitevaso shall noach show arko shall nesa chamishim ama. So you couldn't find him, but his son happened to be working in Turkey, and in Turkey you have Mount Ararat, and in Mount Ararat you had the Ark, and the Ark is 50 amas long.
So they took it from the Ark.
That's fine. Jehoshaphat Karsh Bachu Zichrin Ba'olam Sheyedu Doros Olam Sheba Mabul Olam Shekein Gesiv Zechra Son Lefrosov Bekein Shenepach Sdom Heniach Zichrin Olam V'Tabit Ishta Me'achor V'Tin Ditziv Melech. Whenever God does a miracle, He leaves a memorial. In the case of Sodom, what was the memorial? Right, Lot's wife. In the case of the Mabul, he left the Teva out there.
Wow.
Ad Achshav he amedesh yuadoras misanim b'shivchus shal karsh baruch. Vomer dayavish v'kilo haman v'nagavol chono shekach hu omer. In it the Yashana pisgama dinay yis nasech amin beisa. So in fact, he says that because what happens. So ends up Haman, who's got this 50, he ends up being hung on it. And therefore he says that that's what he's talking about. He says if anybody else tries any monkey business, he's going up like Haman went up.
It's interesting the translation is take like a central beam of their house and impale them on it. So that means the house goes down as well.
And that's why the house becomes a... What does it say?
Well, it falls down.
That's what it says here?
No, it says...
Let the house be made a dunghill for this, according to the
JPS.
Don't
exactly translate that way. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you have a GPS there? Isn't that a GPS?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have dunghill in our school as well.
Okay. Don't say dunghill here, but...
Okay.
It's all the same. I get it.
Right. Don't mess. That's the upshot here.
The
Lord is Shachin Shemei Tamar. Yemager kol melech va'am di yishach yodei rehashnir rechabora beis harora dach di Yerushalem ona dayaves somes te'em asparna yisavid.
I have spoken.
Right, he says, and anybody who messes with this, right, they'll be taking care of it, and therefore thus says Daryavish, I want this to be done promptly. Sharp and Pinklucht, right away.
With dispatch.
Right? So, all right, here's the news. So, Adayin, Tatnai, Pachas, Ever, Nar, Shtar, Boznai, Vakarose, Vakabe, Dishoch, Dayavish, Malka, Kenema, Asparna, Avdu. So, when the people got the message, what they did is what they had to do. Right? They, in fact, went and they did it. Vesavi, Yudaya, Vinay, Masicha, Benavu, Aschagai, Nevia, is a chayyeh bar ido uvanu v'shachalo mitem araha yisrael umitem korash dayavish v'chatashto melech pras. So he goes, and in fact, they followed the words of the prophets, and they were building, and they were very successful, as was said by Koresh, Daryavish, and Ahartashta, the kings of Persia. Three different. Well, I thought only Daryavish said this. What does that mean? So, if you look at the Tosfos says the Gemara has an opinion that Koresh, Daryavish, and Ahartashta were all the same person. Right? Shlostim kum b'chad krava el mikra de v'shiyotzi v'esa d'na'av ha'chi k'siv v'shav Yehuda b'nin masrich v'navu as chag einav v'zachar barido v'nor yishachvu min ha'tam aloha Yisrael mitam korish v'yav v'achartashto melapras v'k'siv v'shiyotzi v'esa d'na'av yom t'los l'yirach adosh yishna shis l'dayav v'shmalko. So he says, you know, the whole thing is a little bit tricky. You know, you really.
I thought it was like neighboring kings or something. They kind of all. I mean.
No, again, we generally assumed, again, Koresh is Cyrus, Daryavish is Darius, and Ahartashta, right, is perhaps Artaxerxes, right? No, he's a different one. Right? As we discussed this last year, right? The Gemara assumes, I know, Ahartashta is a name, like we refer to our leader as the president, and other people refer to him as the king, and some people refer to it as Pharaoh, right, etc., etc.
It's the title.
Right, so therefore the idea is that Koresh and Daryavish is the same person, and this is their title, right? So he says, the fact that they're all the same person, Tosa says, this pasuk sounds a little bit like it, you know, just to defend that idea, the fact that, you know, it says that the Koresh, Daryavish, Ahartashta says it, and it's so, but only one person said it. That would be the idea. And in fact, we have a date. V'sheitzi besa d'na ad yom t'losu l'yerech Adar, yishna shes l'malchus dayavish malka. And it was complete on the third day of Adar, and then in the sixth year of the king Dayavish. Very interesting question. So why do we say tachnun on the third day of Adar? Right? Shouldn't this be a holiday? Completion, you know? So that, in fact, if you look at the save number 14, they quote from Rav Chaim Kinyevsky at the time Shlita. He names the Shaila Shanishma Maran and Grand Rav Chaim Kinyevsky Shlita. Matzim b'chol makom she'osu zecher Chanukas habayis ha'mizbeach. Ke Chanukas ha'mizbeach b'mei Chashmonoim. When they opened up after the Chashmonoim, we made a party for that, right? We called it Chanukah. V'chanukas b'ayis risho k'mavur b'beis Yosef v'b'bir agrao sham. He said, and also, you know, we see from there that we don't say tachanun between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Why not? Because that was the time when they were dedicating the first Beis Hamikdash. So when we dedicated the first Beis Hamikdash, we didn't say tachanun, right? When we rededicated the second Beis Hamikdash, we didn't say tachron. So
why do we do it
now? Ubutura rechaim, achanukas hamishkan, right? Also in the whole Nisan we don't do it. Tchilas sechodesh nid ein ofer b'shem chanukas hamishkan v'kabanos, so the siyem b'mizbeach. So this is the only time where there's no party. V'tosis yontu sotan arpi sefer yosifan shegam b'yom chanukas binyin hordes ha'inogim lasos yontu. And when Herod, they also made a holiday for it. Also, Ayam Mishno b'chol shana v'shana b'chol medinas Yehuda. Yehu b'chanukas habayis to Ezra, Mubarak's prepared for the Ezra, lo osum, b'yom t'chos l'yerech Adar, k'nisa b'ramban, v'heishiv k'shanir lo, hayu shan beizdar agadol sheyitaknu. So he said, why not? He said, because they just weren't people that were able to establish it. That really Gimel Adar should be a holiday. And really, Gimel Adar is a day where we shouldn't be saying Tachanun or whatever else. It's like a Chanukah, at least we're not saying Tachanun. He said the only reason they didn't do it is because there was no one to do it.
There was no one to celebrate? There was no one.
There was no one to establish a holiday. You need to be people of a certain... That's the best answer I got.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
But we're... Okay.
Yes.
So we have three prophets, and we've got Zerubbabel, who are hanging out over here. and they are not high enough to establish it. But we celebrate Yom Yerushalayim, Yom HaTzmaut, Yom HaZikaron.
Who is this we you talk about?
We
He's Denver Orthodox Synagogue.
And in Israel.
What? All of Israel celebrates it?
So there, I mean, it says here that the people then celebrate
it. We never established. We never got established, which is odd because everything else gets established, and this somehow Gimel Adar.
And you'd think they'd be of a higher level than even the Maccabees, who had some issues as a religious group.
They definitely had their issues. That's true, right? So, better question than answer. But in fact, here and now that the Nabi is very clear on the date, right? He wants us to know what the day is, and I assume before now, Gimel Adar meant nothing to anybody here.
True, right? But why Tachanun? Why not just a regular day? Not
meaning that. Because between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, what else do we do besides no Tachanun?
Build a sukkah.
That's true. That's a good point. We should build a sukkah.
Yeah.
Meaning that you know, beginning of Nisan also. I mean, that's how we're celebrating most of the other ones, except for Hanukkah. So, okay, so at least give it that. Hey?
Well, let's say you had some rabbis of some standing. Let's say the Rabbinical Council of America.
Of course.
That's decided to get together and establish this as a no Tachanun day.
I'm sure that the Baal Batim will greet it with great joy. Right? Hey, the question that you rarely get asked in shul, why didn't we say Tachanun today?
Even for people here who don't like saying Tachanun, they used to want to know why not.
Not that they wanted to.
Why doesn't it? Who would establish such a thing?
I don't know. That's the problem. There's nobody.
It's one thing to be neutral. It's another to make it a morning time.
Right.
Maxwell's point is, we know there's nobody. There were two of them there.
Whatever reason. That's what he said. That there was that there might have been Nevi'im, but there was no Beis Din HaGadol. That's what he said. So you're missing a Beis Din HaGadol.
Because nowadays you got a bunch of rabbis together from Agudat Yisrael, and they all kind of agreed on this. That wouldn't take.
We're a little late at this point, right? You know, it's been 2,500 years.
I don't think the
Agudas
are about to establish.
I don't know. Maybe Maxwell gives him a call. Said,
I'd like to.
He's got some gifts, some gumption. Okay. ועבדו בני ישראל כהניה ורבי ישר בני גרוסה חנוכס בייס אלוהו דנו וחדבו. So everyone got together and they themselves had a great party here. In fact, if you look at the Ramban in Parshas Naso, he makes notes of this. He says, הנה השם הנכבד הסכים על דס הנשיא וציבה נוסי אחד ליום יקריבו. So this is referring to what? In Parshas Naso, Parshas Naso is the longest Parsha in the Torah. How did it get so long? Because at the end, we're reading the Karbonos of the Nesim over and over and over and over, right? So he says that you're opening up the Mishkan, right? We've got to do it right. So he said, and that's why we have so many mitzvah. And in fact, it's telling us that any time you're consecrating a Beis HaMikdash, you need to celebrate. And he said, in fact, that's what happened. That's what Shlomo did in the first place. As Hayamim v'ayu b'yom hashmini v'hara, etc., etc. So he said, in fact, this is a mitzvah, according to him. It's not just what happened there, but in fact, according to the Ramban, there is a mitzvah. Whenever you have a grand opening of a Beis HaMikdash, you've got to go and party.
And the text says that they did.
What? And they did, correct. The only thing that they didn't do is they did not set it up as a
regular annual
Right, something for Lidoros, as we say, for the generations to come. V'hikrivu rachanuchas beis alah denar turin meya dichrin masayim v'imrin arba meyav tzipire izin rachata'a al ko Yisrael trey asar v'binyin shift in Yisrael. And they tell us how many did we get, how many of the sacrifices then? There were 100 oxen, 200 rams, 400 sheep, and 12 goats. That was the collection of them all.
Shlomo
brought an awful lot, right? Much more than this. V'hekimu kahanya b'plug puktahon l'levay machakosan al avedas el Yerushalayim kerkosan b'sefer Moshe. And in fact, the Kohanim and the Levium, they did exactly like they were supposed to do.
They were reappointed and did everything.
There they were. It's up and running. Vayasu b'nei ha-gola es ha-pesach barba sor l'chodesh ha-rishon. And they made Pesach that year, right? This is Gimel Adar. They're starting. The next holiday is going to be Pesach. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But just going back a verse, when it says written the book of Moses,
yes,
which is Sefer Moshe, it's one book. Generally, we think of it as being five books of Moses. Are they referring to
meaning safe? It means a Sefer Torah.
Okay.
Sefer Torah's Moshe. So.
Okay, I don't know if there was a lost book called the Book of Moses. Like,
not that I'm aware of, but pretty sure not.
Ki
hitaru akonim v'avim ke'echad kulam tahorim v'yishchitu ha-pesach chol b'nei gol ha-cheim ha-kohanim v'lehem. And they, in fact, we'll discuss this, how that happened, they, in fact, made themselves ritually pure, and that's it. By Pesach, we're in business. They had their full Pesach program. Nice tea room. Some good chazanim they brought in. It was very special.
So presumably they had a paradum at this time.
Oh, we're going to discuss that. That is exactly what I'm referring to. Vayoch b'nei Yisrael ha-shavim me'agol v'chol ha-nivdol mitumas goyei ha-aretz ha-leim lidrosh ha-no'ero ha-Yisrael. So there, in fact, these people were able to do it. Vayasu chag ha-matzo shivas yamin b'simcha ki simchosam adonai v'hesev rev melech asher ha-leim l'chazek yedeim b'mereches beis ha-lohim elohei Yisrael. And they were great. There was tremendous joy, because the king here turned and supported them and allowed them to do this. Now, what happened here?
Why are they referring
to a different king?
So what do you mean? Up until we never spoke about this, right? So what does this sound like? It sounds like we're getting 10 tribes back, right? If the king of Assyria said you can come back, that would give us 10 tribes. So let's catch up. First thing that I was snuck right by you and no one noticed it was we switched languages. Right, I guess someone noticed it. Right? So we're back in Hebrew. Yes, and we will remain there the rest of the book of Ezra. That's good news. Right? That's the first thing that is notable, right? Meaning that the back and forth, the communications with what's going with Shushan, we're done with that. Right, so therefore, we can go back to our Hebrew as we originally signed up. Let's catch up on some sources here, which in fact will perhaps fill us in a little bit. So it says, the Tosefta in Parah says, Makas a zacher near to the acher of offer nishrach noto mekadesh mizash and shafik masim elu osu kishol minagola. Devre Rev Yehuda, Shimon Omer Afron Yorad Imam Lebavel, Vala Amulo, Halo Nitma Beretz Abim, Amrahem Lo Gozutumres Amim Ella Achish Olmenagola. So he turns on and he said, where does this paraduma come from? Basically, there are different opinions here. One opinion was that they had left some behind. Second opinion was they took it with them to Bavel and they brought it back as well. But what's clear from here is one way or the other they had Parah Aduba at that point. Right, so that is a notable point. The Mesha Chachma. The Mesha Chachma is the Mayor Simcha of Dvinsk. He lived in
Dvinsk.
Correct, very good. So you know him.
So we're talking Russia?
What? Right, the Vinsk, Minsk, Pinsk.
Yeah.
Right.
So, time-wise?
Time-wise is 19th century.
Ah, Okay.
Right. Interesting. He wrote two very well-known works. One was called the Meshech Chachma, which is on the Chumash, and the other one is called the Or Sameach, on the Rambam. That's where it came from. Right. It's interesting. He originally wrote the Meshech Chachma, and he said the only reason he wrote it is because no one wanted to buy a book on the Rambam. For something nice on the Parsha, they'd like that. Once they bought it and they liked his writings, then they'll come out with his work on the Rambam, which is a serious scholarly work, and he'd be able to sell a few books there as well. But he was a man who is business. So he calls it Vayasmide Golas HaPesach Varosel Chodesh Ki Torah Kodem Vriyim Ke'echad Kulam Talorim Vayishchitu HaPesach Chol B'nei Gola Achim HaKodem etc. Vayochu B'nei Yisrael HaShem Me'ah Gola. I don't understand. Why did they wait till now for the Korban Pesach? If you remember, they put up the Mizbeach years ago, and they were bringing Korbanos throughout. So why is this the first Pesach? He said it could be that up until now they did not have Parah Aduma. So there is a concept out there that if everybody is Tamei, you're allowed to bring certain Karbanos. Other ones you can't bring. So the argument here would be that the Karban Pesach, we would not say Tumor, Hutra, but Tzibur, since it's not necessarily a Karban Tzibur. That's arguable. I think a lot of people say that it is a Karban Tzibur. And therefore, he assumes that they did not get the Parah Aduma until now. And perhaps that's why there wasn't the Korban Pesach. So,
how are they bringing Korbanos before the bias was complete? It was enough just to have them as Mizbeach?
Yeah. Correct. You have a Mizbeach in the proper place.
And they had Kohanim, so
yeah.
They were doing it.
That's what they were doing.
It specifically says the Kohanim didn't purify themselves until the Fanukah Sabayos.
Right.
So, but you're saying they couldn't, that they didn't have the Parah.
Right. In terms of the issues regarding what's the king of Assyria, there's really two approaches here. One approach is to say that the king of Assyria really means... correct. Whatever happened to Assyria? Assyria was taken over by
Persians.
No. Persians didn't take over everything. Let's go, right? But first they were taken over by the Babylonians, right? Sancheriv was the leader, right? He gets wiped out by Nebuchadnezzar. And that's why the Babylonians are the ones that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The Babylonians are knocked out by the Persians and the Medes. So therefore, Assyria, which was under Babylonian rule, is now under Persian rule. And if that's the case, so you say the king of Assyria, it really means the same Dariavish, because he is the king of Assyria, just like he's also the king of Israel, and he's also the king of Babylon, and he's the king.
In that case, he could let the 10 tribes return.
He could. If
because
they, if they were
so long ago that the tribal identity would be completely lost. It's only...
It's over a century.
Right. But it's under two centuries.
It's longer than since the 1960s. Right, so that's one approach. One approach that people turn around and they say is, yeah, that it's just referring to Dariavish. Other people want to start here and discuss that perhaps the 10 tribes actually came back. That they're at least representatives of the 10 tribes that were here at the time. We know that there were times, meaning that the Gemara Megillah tells us that Yirmiyahu actually went and brought back representatives of the 10 tribes at one point, right? And eventually they got lost again. So this could have been that as well. That's a more major discussion. So again, depending on how you understand the king of Assyria. If the king of Assyria is Dariavish, so we've heard nothing from here. If you tell me that also the king of Assyria said, well, if they're going to let him go back, so will we, then there's what to say. There's a nice piece here in the R scroll if anybody's curious about it. All right. You're not going to believe who we're going to meet next week. for the first time.
Who are we meeting?
Ezra.
Oh, that's right.
It's about time, you know? Meaning
only,
that
only took us 7 chapters.
And there's a total of 10 chapters in the whole book. Go numb. All right, till next week.